Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a very good Easter weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, April the 22nd. Coming up, we hear from a Kent school launching a free breakfast club as part of a new government scheme. Find out why football legend Tony Adams has been in Margate. And we hear from the Gillingham boss as they extend their unbeaten run in League Two. But first up today, this is our most read story on the website. The parents of a young girl who broke a neck after falling from a zip line in Ashford say it's too dangerous for children. Lucy joins me now on the podcast with more on this story. Lucy, this sounds like every parent's worst nightmare.
Absolutely. 8-year-old Lois Crook had gone to Victoria Park in the town with her mum and her older brother. Her mum recalls seeing Lois on the zip wire and thinking it was travelling quite fast. Then when she hit the bumper at the other end, she was thrown up into the air and came off the seat. Her mum thinks she was flung around 10 feet up and landed head first on the grass.
And what injuries had Lois suffered?
Well, Lois was taken to hospital and a CT and MRI scan confirmed a C2 fracture. That's a break in the second vertebra right at the very top of the spine. While very severe, thankfully her spinal cord wasn't damaged. Lois was kept in neck blocks at the William Harvey to keep her head still before being transferred to King's College in London. A specialist has described the injury as like something you'd suffer in a car crash.
And Lois had to spend a week at the hospital in London.
That's right. While she was there, a custom-made halo brace was surgically fitted using four pins screwed into her skull. Lois will have to wear it for at least 12 weeks and faces a long recovery. While pleased to be back home, she says her Easter holidays were ruined and she's struggling to sleep.
Of course, we wish Lois a full and speedy recovery. Now, can you tell us a bit more about the park, Lucy?
Yes, so it's owned and maintained by the local council and just 3 years ago underwent a £5 million revamp. That's when the zip line was installed. Lois's parents, Emma and Daniel, are calling for improved safety measures so this doesn't happen to another child. Ashford Borough Council have told us they're investigating what happened. In a statement, they say we are aware of an incident involving a child at Victoria Park. However, we are unable to provide a comment while investigations are ongoing.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
A man in his 20s has been taken to hospital following a stabbing in Chatham. Police were called to reports of an attack on Chatham Hill on Easter Sunday afternoon. Two men, aged 22, have been arrested and investigations are ongoing. A man who burgled his own mother's flat in Folkestone has been jailed. The 25-year-old stole a Nintendo Switch after his mum refused to lend him money in January last year. He's been locked up for 120 days and will be monitored once he's released. A caravan site in Herne Bay has been evacuated after a car crashed into a gas line and caused a leak. Firefighters and safety engineers were called to Bullockstone Road on Sunday afternoon. The person involved in the crash was looked after by paramedics. Now, next today, religious leaders from across Kent have been paying tribute to the Pope following his death at the age of 88. Francis passed away yesterday morning after having a stroke and heart failure. His funeral will take place on Saturday. Before that, his body will be moved to St. Peter's Basilica, where hundreds of thousands of people are expected to be able to file past his open casket. Well, Lucy has been speaking to the Archdeacon of Canterbury, Will Adam.
Pope Francis was somebody who described himself as being from the ends of the earth. He'd been the Archbishop of Buenos Aires in Argentina for 15 years before he was called to the papacy. And there's a story that one of the other cardinals, at the point he was elected, whispered to him, "Remember the poor." And that was a theme that Pope Francis kept up throughout his papacy, a real concern for the poor, for the marginalised, for those on the edges of society. It was something that he threw his heart and soul into. He was also somebody who was, one way or another, a great friend of the Anglican Communion. I speak, of course, as somebody from the Church of England. He famously wrote a joint letter in 2021 with the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Orthodox Ecumenical Patriarch about care for the environment. And in 2023, he went on a visit to South Sudan with the Archbishop of Canterbury and the moderator of the Church of Scotland to pray for and to encourage peace.
Yeah, I was going to ask about those connections to the Anglican Church because obviously Christianity as a whole, you know, the Pope is such a figurehead for the Catholic Church, but you know, in terms of Christianity as a whole, I mean, what does this mean losing this figurehead?
Well, the Pope is, of course, the leader of the largest Christian denomination in the world. So there are Catholics in every country in the world, which is not something that we can say necessarily for Anglicans, although there are Anglicans in many, many countries around the world. So wherever we find ourselves as Anglicans in the world, the Catholics are our nearest neighbours, and our brothers and sisters in Christ. So, when the leader of the largest Christian church denomination dies, that is a big piece of news for other churches around the world. And so, this news will have repercussions around the world.
So you've been lucky enough to meet Pope Francis. What was it like the first time you met him?
Well, the first time I met him was at one of his general audiences in 2017. So I was there with thousands and thousands of other people in St. Peter's Square, but I was on the row of people that get to shake his hand. And he came up the row, and I said in my broken Italian that I was the Archbishop of Canterbury's ecumenical advisor. And at that point, his face lit up. And he said, "Ah, Justin," this is in his Italian, "ah, Justin, my brother." And so it's very clear that he had struck up a very good rapport with and friendship with the last Archbishop of Canterbury, Archbishop Justin. And then I met him on several other occasions. Largely, it was when I was accompanying either the Archbishop or another group on a visit to Rome.
What was he like as a person, and what was it like to be in a room with him?
He was a big man. So in later years, he was in a wheelchair quite a lot. And so I've seen him a couple of times. I was in his presence. He was in a wheelchair and sitting down. But he had a very warm presence and a warm smile, and was very good at the off-the-cuff remarks.
The Bishop of Dover has also been paying tribute. Rose Hudson-Wilkins said, "Pope Francis brought hope not just to millions of Catholics, but to so many around the world. He was not afraid to meet with people from all kinds of backgrounds." And former Archbishop of Canterbury Justin Welby said the Pope had been a friend, adding that he will miss him deeply.
Kent Online reports.
A driver's been taken to hospital with serious injuries after crashing his car following a police chase in Sevenoaks. The Ford Fiesta collided with a Land Rover Defender on Westerham Road in Riverhead on Saturday night. It's been referred to the police complaints watchdog for investigation. Firefighters have now left the scene of a large blaze that ripped through a block of flats in Dover. Crews were called to Crabble Hill in the early hours of Sunday, and 42 properties had to be evacuated. Police are still investigating the cause of the fire. Prisoners in Kent have received more than £650,000 in compensation. Compensation for personal injury claims. The highest payout total was recorded at HMP Elmley in Eastchurch on the Isle of Sheppey, where nearly £350,000 was awarded between 2020 and 2024. It's reported claims involve staff, other inmates, food contamination, animal bites, and asbestos. Now, there are calls for more to be done to help people who've been fined speeding on the A20 in Kent after the limit was changed. A temporary 40-mile per hour limit was put in place between Swanley and the Swanley services in October 2023. But many drivers say there weren't enough signs. More than 60,000 notices were issued, with many of the drivers now coming together to form the A20 Justice Alliance to support each other. Colleen Blackburn is one of them, and she's been speaking to our reporter, Alex Langridge.
We're a very small group of people. There was a sort of about 100 of us that were, you know, going not guilty. And we set up a WhatsApp group to support each other. You know, there was never any, you know, sort of big group, you know, mentality there. We just wanted to help and support each other. You know, most of the people in the group have never been to court before. You know, we've got police officers, retired police inspectors, accountants, solicitors. all sorts of people that are hardworking, genuine people who've never stepped foot in a courtroom before. And obviously there's a lot of nerves, there's a lot of worry. Certainly some of the people that were caught at higher speeds, there was a lot of anxiety about losing jobs, etc. So we set this WhatsApp group, and it was literally just to support one another. And we basically founded the A20 Justice Alliance from that, which was basically just to, campaign and just have a name behind us, really. There's no other motive, but it's all about support. It's all about getting justice for one another. It's a very sort of close-knit group, and we chat quite regularly. I've had a lot of support from members, a lot of encouragement, I've been to a couple of court cases with people. One person actually had a court date, and he didn't receive the paperwork, and he was actually banned in his absence by mistake. It was a mistake. And he lost his job over that. So, you're dealing with people that have lost everything. They're in debt. So it's a support group, but also a justice group to try and hold, TfL and the police to account. This needs to be investigated. This needs to be looked at. But it's very difficult. It's very, very difficult to fight something like this. So that's where we are. We're in early stages still.
Now, police have previously insisted all fines will be enforced and any challenged will be faced in court. We've also had a statement from Transport for London. It says, "Safety is our number one priority, and we temporarily introduced a 40 mile per hour speed limit in response to a number of incidents caused by ongoing flooding issues, which posed a risk to life. New regular speed limit signage compliant with all traffic sign regulations was installed to ensure that everyone driving on this stretch of road was aware of the new limit."
Kent Online reports.
Now, hundreds of schools across England, including 11 right here in Kent and Medway, are launching free breakfast clubs this week. It's all part of efforts to make sure no child goes hungry and to help parents save money on childcare costs. Chelmington Green Primary in Ashford is among those taking part in the trial. The head teacher there is Tamsin Mobbs. She's been speaking to Kate.
Chelmington Green has been selected as one of the government's early adopter schools for the new Universal Free Breakfast Initiative, and that scheme is part of the government's plan to offer free breakfast in all primary schools in England by 2026. So it aims to improve attendance, concentration, behaviour, and generally the overall well-being of children most in need.
And so when we talk about a breakfast club, what does that look like? I'm assuming obviously breakfast will be provided. Can we talk me through a little bit about the sorts of foods that are going to be on offer and any other sort of activities and things that will be there for the kids?
Yep. So from term five, we're launching our own model called the Snack Shack. And our Snack Shack will offer a free morning snack to every child, which will include toast, crumpets, fresh fruit, fruit juice. So children in years 2 to 6, they can go to the Snack Shack and they'll be able to collect their breakfast. And children in reception in year 1 will be able to have their breakfast in the classroom, supported by a teaching assistant.
And has the school been providing something like this before, or is this the first time that it's going to be rolled out?
So we currently have a breakfast club that opens at 7:30 and runs till 8:30. But this is something new because this is all children and families can access this because the school will now open at 8:15.
And with the other breakfast club that you currently run, what's the uptake like? Is it something that parents are very grateful for? Are a lot of families taking advantage of the early start?
Yep, so we do have quite a few children already accessing our breakfast club, and we have parents that work that normally put their children into that. What's different with this scheme is this is now open to all children. So at 8:15, children can come onto site, they can have a breakfast, they can stay on site at that time with us, and then they'll go into school at 8:30 till 8:45.
And Can you talk me through a little bit about the benefits to the students? I mean, I know that they often say that sort of breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It kickstarts your body and it sort of gets you ready for everything ahead. What sort of benefits does this bring for the students?
So it helps to obviously, breakfast is the most important meal and it makes sure that no child comes into school hungry. It also helps that with families with their morning routines as well. So they're not worried about if their child's going to be eating, they know that they've got something to come to school and have something to eat. And it's just a really lovely way to start the school day. It's nice and calm. It's a lovely welcoming start to the day, and especially important for the children here.
The government scheme will eventually be rolled out to every primary school in the country. Work is starting today on a regeneration scheme, which could cause a bit of gridlock in Canterbury. Roads around the Westgate Towers will be shut off at various points over the next 12 months. It's all part of a £1.5 million project to create a continental-style square, which could be closed to traffic for certain events. Work elsewhere is underway to clear a site near Sittingbourne that's going to be turned into housing. Nearly 300 homes are due to be built on land at Ufton Court Farm in Tunstall. Trees are being cut down to make way for the properties. You can see pictures by heading to Kent Online. And plans for more than 700 homes on the edge of a village near Dover are set to be approved. The District Council's Planning Committee are meeting tomorrow to discuss the fate of two projects in Whitfield. One is for 309 homes to land northwest of Archers Court Road. The other is for 430 south of Church Whitfield Road.
Kent Online News.
Now, football legend Tony Adams has been visiting Margate to see the work being done to help recovering addicts. The former England captain struggled with an alcohol problem during his career and even served time in prison. He's now chair of the Forward Trust charity, which offers support to people who are homeless. Tony has been speaking to Abby Hook from our colleagues at KMTV.
In East Kent, the services are particularly brilliant because the Holy Trinity of the getting people jobs, getting people somewhere to live and then getting them into recovery works really well here. We've got a fantastic team of people that combined well, and we've got all those services. The East Kent Council give us money to deliver those services, but this area is really brilliant in the way that we combine in every part of the person's journey, for self-esteem, get them jobs, get them working, get them into housing, take them off the streets, get them into housing, and getting people into recovery is the missing link. It's what sets us apart from other charities and services in this area and across the country, to be honest, is the reason why I'm working for the Forward Trust, is that recovery aspect, that well-being, fitness for me, exercise, that feeling of usefulness and purpose is why and separates us from other charities. You've got people here that are no different from me. We're in the same kind of, whether it's a footballer, this illness doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're the groundskeeper at Margate or you're a postman or a doctor or a nurse or a professional footballer. It's the same illness, and there's a certain way out of that illness, and we need connection, we need friends. And there's a lot of people in this that I've met today that have got that connection, that have been through the same process. Some of them's gone through quickly, some of them slowly. My journey was now 29 years of recovery, a day at a time.
It's a question I've asked a few people in there. Would the Tony in addiction recognise the Tony in recovery? Oh,
Jesus, I was scared of that man. Oh, he was a frightened little boy. And when you're frightened and scared, they're quite dangerous. It's quite dangerous. I put myself into some serious situations that thankfully I came through. But that boy was little. He was scared. He had no self-esteem, no principles. He didn't know how to live. He didn't know how to live in this. And luckily, I've been given a 12-step program that enables me to be free. And does the now Tony recognise the old Tony? No, I think if he was coming down the street, I'd
probably stay clear of him, to be honest with you. But what is, we've got this thing in recovery, we say, like, that little boy wanted a big hug, but I was putting up the face. You know, you couldn't talk to me. I would have done interviews like this, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, go away, you know what I mean? Too scared. But now you can see me, you know. You can see who I am, warts and all.
And that openness probably helps a lot of people, because if someone like you, with the notoriety you have, the fame that you have, if you can be honest about your story and get through it and then help others, it perhaps will help some others, especially if they're an Arsenal fan.
Sometimes it works against you. No. Honesty is the best policy, as they say. And yeah, you have to be open and honest, and if they get it. But you've got to realise I'm actually doing it it's a very selfish act, because it keeps me well. You know, that's why I do it. I've got to give it away to keep it. So the more of this I do, I remind myself that I used to be, you know, at that start of the journey, and it's so painful. And so I have to live a life and carry the message, as we say, and kind of go, look, you can be free. You can be free of your addiction. You can have peace of mind. You can have love in your heart. You know, you can be open and honest with people. You know, you can do this. So there you go. So that's what I try and portray, but it does me so much good.
Work to protect part of the Kent coast from flooding is due to start today. Around 142,000 tonnes of shingle will be moved between Fisherman's Beach in Hythe and Folkestone Harbour. It could take up to 8 weeks and will help shield more than 3,000 homes and businesses. An historic Kent home owned by a famous actress is back on the market. The Grade 2 listed property in Dockyard Terrace in Sheerness has most recently been home to Sarah Sugarman, who's known for Sid and Nancy and Very Annie Mary. It's got a price tag of £800,000. And Greggs have announced plans to open a store on Deal High Street. They want to take over the former NatWest building, which has been empty since the bank branch closed in July 2023.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and Gillingham have now gone 10 games unbeaten after a 1-0 victory over AFC Wimbledon. Joe Bode scored a cracking winning goal in the second half at Priestfield yesterday, and Gillingham manager Gareth Ainsworth told us what he thought of the match after the final whistle.
Amazing, amazing. Players were absolutely outstanding for me today. They emptied every bit of energy they had out there, were bringing players off. Can't walk anymore, that, you know, they put that much into the game. And we had a game plan, and once again, I had a 15-minute session to work on it with the players don't even know what day it is, you know, I thought it was yesterday. So Easter Sunday, the boys came in, did it right, and we had a 15-minute session just to work on some shape, which I thought might cause the Wimbledon a problem. They're very direct, they're very strong and big, and the set players are a threat, you know. And I said to the boys, you know, you match them physically, mentally, and running stats, you match them, we have a hell of a chance here, because you're a good footballer, you can play, boys. And I thought we played the majority of the good stuff today. I thought we really did knock the ball around well today. And what a goal, you know, what a phenomenal goal to win the game. But, I mean, the defending, you know, clean sheet, which is fabulous to see. And when your boys are, I think there's a block late on, the two bodies chucking themselves at it, winning every header in the box, no matter what they chucked at us, we stood up and we were resilient today. I thought we could have got a little bit more decision-wise. I thought that we wanted to, you know, there was a penalty maybe in the first half where they come through the back of Connor, but really, really proud of the boys, you know. Some good players in this building. Just that identity now, and that togetherness, and that structure and organisation that we'll bring. Hopefully we'll get more days like this. Like I say, it's not always going to go well, but it's okay at the moment. And fans, thank you. Got right behind us, and I got involved today.
The Jewels remain 17th in League Two and have just two games of the season left. Cricket and Kent have drawn their latest county championship game against Gloucestershire. Zach Crawley scored a half century in the second innings at Canterbury. It follows back-to-back victories for Kent in their first two games of the season. On to tennis now, and Kent's Emma Raducanu says she's planning to continue her part-time coaching partnership with Mark Petchy. It follows her run to the quarterfinals at the Miami Open last month. The 22-year-old from Orpington hasn't had a full-time coach since January and is due to play in the first round of the Madrid Open tomorrow. And bosses in Herne Bay hope refurbishments to local sports facilities will help discourage antisocial behaviour. Two multi-use game areas at Memorial Park are going to be revamped to accommodate tennis, pickleball, football and basketball. The work is expected to finish in the next 6 weeks and give younger people more options. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on our socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.